just want to share something that's on my heart. This is really a different kind of, I won't even say a thought, but it's just a different scenario that I want to speak to you this morning. Totally for at least my style anyway, or what I like to do, or what I'm comfortable with. But God just put this on my heart, and I want to share this section of scripture with you first, and then I'll share with you what's on my heart. But Psalm 66, I want to share with you the first 9 verses. We'll stand, and then we'll read this, and then we'll have prayer over it, and we'll believe the Lord. Amen. Amen. How many of y'all like the Psalms? I've loved the Psalms, man. I always do. Man, whatever's going on, you can go to them Psalms, man, and you can find yourself there somewhere. Amen. You can find yourself personally. That's what makes them so powerful. But listen to what it says. Make a joyful noise. I want to just stop right there a minute. I want you to give me your best noise. That's pretty good. Dang, I thought I was going to have to get on you, but man, you pulled it off. Amen, you pulled it off. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. You know, that's all ye lands, that's every language. That's every, I don't know how many languages it is in the world. I know there's a lot, but every language is called to make a joyful noise to one God. Ain't that powerful? That's powerful. Powerful. All ye lands, verse 2, sing forth, that's what we've been doing, the honor of his name, make his praise glorious, say unto God, how terrible. Y'all thought that new language, you know, that's bad. You know, you thought that was just today. Well, no, they was doing this back in the Old Testament days. Back in King David's day, they'd say, you don't know how bad God is. How terrible. How terrible. And it was in a good way now. This is in a good way. This is not in a negative form here. How terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shalt thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Verse 4. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Say, look. Come and see the works of God. He is, here it is again, terrible. He's terrible. It's like, I can't keep up with a lot of it. I catch up later as it goes along. I know it used to be that saying about that's the bomb. Took me a while to catch on to that one. I wasn't sure. That's the bomb. And I'm like, what? I got tickled here the other day. O was texting Cindy about some boots and stuff, and they was talking back and forth, and he sent back, because he's, you know, school teacher, he's in with the kids, he's got that mentality, he's got a very youth mentality, and he's, as we were closing out the text, she said, what does this mean? And I don't remember what you said exactly, I don't remember how you said it, but anyway, he sent back, I'm bringing the chili tomorrow. And she said, what does that mean? Because she knows she's old as I am almost. We was a little bit out in, and I studied on it. I'm bringing the chili tomorrow. I told her, I said, I don't know. I said, I'm not sure what he's bringing. I'm not sure what he's talking about, you know. And you know what it was? He brung the chili. He did. He brung us a bowl of chili. No kidding. And I told you about that, I had no idea. We searched and searched for hours there trying to think, what is he talking about? Bringing the chili tomorrow. She said, Google it. And I said, I ain't Googling it. I'm not even Googling it. I said, I'll find out tomorrow. How many of y'all do that? On that SMH, I Googled that to figure out what in the world everybody was SMHing. Somebody said, I'm going to have to Google that when I get home. Amen. Anyway. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into the dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. Verse 8, Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. Verse 9. I want you to catch this. Which holdeth our soul in life. Man. And suffereth not. I like the last part, but that first part. Who holdeth our soul in life. And suffereth not our feet to be moved. Amen. Let's just all bind together and let's pray corporately today. Let's believe God in this house, one for another. Father, we do. We love you and we thank you. We honor you today. What an awesome privilege it is to be in your house and to experience your anointing, your presence, your spirit, dear God. You are so good. And Lord, I believe for that goodness just to continue even now to spew out, Lord God, and to spew out upon these pews and upon hearts this morning, dear God, and to touch hearts and lives and minister out of all of your great goodnesses, Lord. Out of that good, I know ministry shall come. And from that, Lord, I know your heart is even for hearts to turn to you with all their power, all their strength, all that's in them. Lord, use this day, use this service. You know what you've put upon my heart early this week, how you touched my heart. And Lord, help me, Lord. I feel down in my body this morning, but I know you're up high and mighty. And I just pray, Lord, for an anointing. I pray for the strength, dear God. I pray for the help, Lord, that'll bring this message to the place that you want it. And Lord, that it'll not return void. But Lord, it will accomplish. It'll accomplish everything that you had in mind, everything that was in your heart for this day. Lord, let there be not one thing go undone that you desire to have in this house this morning. Lord, anoint us with that, with the ability to see it done. We'll love you. We'll praise you. You are good. You are good. And we're going to honor you now. In the name of our Lord, our Savior, our coming King, in Jesus Christ's name. Can you say amen and give God now all the glory. Hey, give him your best noise. Give him your best noise. Hey. Your best noise. Hey, you are good. You are good. You are good. Hey. Amen. 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 Thank you for your best noise. You can be seated this morning. Like I said, a little out of the norm because this ain't necessarily a text, although there's some pieces in there that tie into what the Lord has put upon my heart. But I just want to make a confession right off the bat. People always get nervous when preacher says that. They think, oh, my God, what's he done? What's coming? What's happening? But confessions can be many things, by the way. But I do have a confession, especially of late. When I say of late, I don't know, the last year, maybe two. I don't know. Kind of with the way our culture and news and, well, I'd say probably from the political season of a while back up through now, probably. I began to ask this one question just over, and not just with the political season, but it was with the world in general. But I began to ask this one question over and over and over and over. And it was, a lot of it was due to the current events and what have you. But this was my question. I kept asking. And I would search the scriptures for it. And I'd seek God for it. And I honestly think I tried to even preach messages in that line. But here was the question that I just kept asking. Is what does this world need? What does this world need? Now, we know it needs Jesus. I mean, that's, is there something? And that's the question. I'd seek God. I'd study. I'd pray. I try not to even watch the news. I'm gonna be honest with you because it drags me so far down, and it makes me so narrow-minded. This is the news I like right here. I like to try to stay current as I can. I mean, I don't. You know, I like to know that, you know, the current things, like, you know, Alaska is a state now, and and what SMH means and what bring the chili means. And I try to stay current as I can. But as far as somebody say, did you see that? Did you? And no. Or say, oh, bring the chili, brother. Bring the chili. Did you miss the story? Okay, that's all right. That's all right. Amen. But anyway, that's kind of been my question. I've been saying, what does this world need? And I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like this all in my heart. I feel like the Holy Ghost checked me. You ever get checked by the Holy Ghost? By the Spirit of God? Just get stopped. Just know. And you know what? Ain't it an awesome thing that in our walk with God, in this journey, daily, every day, that out of the blue, the Holy Ghost can check us. Ain't that awesome? Ain't that wonderful? Riding down the road, bam. Sitting in church, bam. Talking to somebody. I've had it happen when I'm talking to somebody, be face to face, and maybe I was even somewhere else with my thoughts or something, and bam. I've been in the midst of preaching. Y'all know I have. I was fixing to say something, and almost fell off and said it, but checked. Had to back retrieve that thing. Cram it off, and then it about kills me, and it does you too. I can see. I can see. Say it, preacher. Come on, say it. Say it. Tell us. Hit us with it. I know it's good. It's good because, man, you just wanting to say it. And I force it back down in there. Why? Because the Holy Ghost checked. That's why. And that's kind of the way that was. I was sitting there and I really feel it. But I sensed I've been asking the wrong question out of that check. That's exactly. And I, unless you spirit led, unless you've been led of God, you might not understand that terminology. But in the checking, a lot of times you sense what really needs to be the right question or the right place or the right thing, what I really should be doing. I mean, if he's checks you, he's probably give you the right avenue to go, the right thing to pursue. And that's really what happened. And I felt like this was the right, I felt like I've been asking the wrong question. I felt like that instead of asking that question, and this is what come to my heart. This has come to my heart, and I know that's why I like it when I know it's the Spirit of the Lord. Instead of asking, what does this world need? I felt like the Holy Ghost stopped me, checked me, diverted me, showed me, here's the question for me. And it was this. What do I need? What do I need? Me personally, what do I need to come alive? I want you to think about that. What do I need? You need to ask that question this morning. Those of you, anybody in here this morning has been asking, what in the world is wrong with our world? What does our world need? No, the right question for you to ask is what can I do? What do I need? What do I need to come alive? Because here's the thing. If you come alive, that's exactly what the world needs. Our world needs its people, the church's people, God's people, to come alive. That's what the world needs. And that became the right question. So in a kind of a search and looking, there's many answers, but in a broad sense, I was looking for the answer. What makes me come alive? And this was just kind of a personal thing. Now, all of us, there's various things I know that really make us tick and make us really alive, really living, really explode from who we are and come out of that humdrum or whatever, but really come alive. And this is me anyway. This is me. And I feel like it's everyone to a sense. But what makes us all come alive is when God moves. When there's a move of God. There's nothing makes me come no more alive than when God moves. In whatever way it is. I don't legislate that. I don't try to govern that. But whatever way God moves, ever how he wants to move. Now, I'm going somewhere. Hang with me. Taking me a little bit to get there, but hang with me. But when he moves, I believe a move of God brings people alive. Have you ever noticed it? Even in a church setting, even in any church setting, in any denomination, if God moves, that bunch comes alive. It could have been dead for a long time, but if God just breathes a little bit, just moves a little bit in there, people come alive. They come alive. And that's exactly what our world needs. They need people that where God has moved and where he has brung life. But here's what I know about that. There's a lot of things that precede a move of God, but for our time this morning, this is kind of where I got locked in on. For our time this morning, I got this kind of a thought as I was studying even this week. And like I said, this wasn't even intended. This was never even intended to be a message, but it's just what the Lord put upon my heart. Because I study 1,000 things, and I know a lot of y'all do 1,000 of things sometimes. Sometimes I study stuff and forget I studied it unless I look back in my notebook, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that was good. But it wasn't God, evidently, because I forgot it. It was good, and it was profitable, but it wasn't a God message for the hour. Or I wouldn't have laid aside. But there's some things that get hung in your heart. And you know that that's the message or that's the thought. That's what God wants conveyed. And this is kind of the way this is. And that's why I say it's a little bit out of my norm. But I got to think of it. A move of God. Think about it just a minute. Many times in Scripture, many times, a true move of God has been preceded by a sound. Now we're coming into the text just a little bit. By a sound or a voice or a noise. Something in that realm, a cry. When someone cries out, it seems like 9 out of 10 times, and that's just my opinion because I didn't really look. but probably somewhere in the 90% range, it looks like that when God really moved, there was a noise, a cry, a call, a voice, somewhere, somehow. All the way back in the beginning, even when man wasn't here, even when God was working in creation, even when man wasn't even here yet, but even before God worked then, God said. And you know what? You might not think that's a big deal. You might think that God said, let there be light. I just think God is so powerful that he said anything. It shattered universes. It rippled things, man. It blowed the bark off of trees if there was any in any other universe. It did. When God rose up, and before he worked or before he moved, the whole plan of creation, the whole work of creation was founded on what God said. And God said, let there, and whatever it was he said, let there, bam! It was a work. There was a move. It happened. All the way from when he said, let there be light, all the way up to man, when he said, let us make man in our image. There was the voice of God going forth. There was his voice, at least even then. But then when man, his great creation came, it seems like he operates still on that same premises. That when he really wants to move or anything that really precedes his move, it's when there's a sound or a noise or a voice, a cry comes out of the earth. Now, we ain't got time to look at it all because there's that many. But just to give you what I'm talking about, like Jericho. You remember that's one of the most common, one of the most well-known. But Jericho, 6 days they circled that place and never said a word. 6 days. On the seventh day, God told them to march around that thing 7 times. And then on the seventh time, to blow them trumpets and shout. And on the seventh time, they walked around them walls, the children of Israel, blow them trumpets, and they give God their best noise. Their best noise. And the Bible says God moved, didn't he? Hey! God moved! And the walls, we know that the walls come down. Story after story, as you come through the old Gideon was the same way. He whittled them down to 300, got them down to 100 in different sections. And then at the right time, they blew the trumpets and broke the lamps. And God moved. delivered the entire country or nation of Midian to 300 men because of a noise. Gideon then was giving God their best noise. David, many times, over and over. We're gonna finish with his story here in a minute. But David, the one that I really love is when he's asking, you know, about pursuing the Philistines and when to go out and when to do battle with them. And God told him, when you hear the sound of the wind in the tops of the mulberries. And it wasn't just because of the wind. Oh, no. He said, when that sound, and I assume it was really quiet that night. And about the time David was, and God said, and when you hear that sound, go forth. For know that God has went before you to do battle against these Philistines. And come, for the battle will be yours. But it was the sound. It was the noise. It was the noise. And in the Old Testament, time will not permit, but we could go on and on and on. Quickly, over into the New Testament, right prior to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Prior to the outpouring of the, what happened? There came the sound. The sound of as of a mighty rushing. And God moved. The greatest event that we are preparing for now, all of us as Christians, believers, and even praying, even so come quickly. Anybody praying, even so come. The greatest, one of the greatest events that I feel like we write on the doorsteps of is the coming of the Lord. What precedes that? A sound. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look what it says. I want you to just catch every word. We could rehearse it, but let's catch every word. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And there's this voice. I don't know what the voice of the archangel is going to sound like, but I bet you it's going to be mighty. I bet you. Because God's son Jesus is going to meet on my side. Going to move with fierceness. And the archangel is going to give out a voice. Archangel's going to give his best noise. And with the trump of God, then what's going to happen? Here's God moving. Here's God. And the dead in Christ shall rise. It goes on, verse 17, and finishes up. It says, then we are which are alive and remain will be called up. Hey! I'm just justifying all my reasons to holler, hey! Brother Lee, you be careful. You're going to give somebody a reason to get emotional. I would to God they would. My God. I wish to God somebody would get emotional. Hey, he's worth it. He's worth it. You ought to shout all your breath out. You ought to shout your hair down. Shout your socks down. Shout till sweat's pouring off your head. You ought to shout for the King. You ought to shout. Glory, your best noise. Your best noise. Your best noise. Hey. By God in heaven. Amen. With the trump. God moves right after the noise. And all the way over into the book of Revelation. All the way over there. You remember several years ago, I don't remember how long ago it is. You know, I lose track of time. It's what happens when you get older, I reckon, because it happened to me. Of course, that happened to me a long time ago, but I forget. I think I preached something a year ago, and it was 10 years ago. It's crazy. I don't know how come that is. I just preached that last year, and Maggie or somebody said, oh, no, you preached that back in 2002. I got librarians in here. Keep up with everything I mark off. Keep up with the books that I take out of God. I appreciate it, though. I like it. Because sometimes I come to them and I ask them, now, when did I preach this? It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. I'm just saying. I'm just saying I can't say what year it was because I'll be wrong and they'll be right. But you remember that time? That time we reenacted the sounds of heaven one Sunday morning. Some of y'all remember that? You remember that? We as best we could as being these you know weak human people. We went through the Book of Revelation that one Sunday morning preaching. And tried to reenact with the different sounds that we could make. Well, you'd have liked it. Well, we had Mr. Bass up here, and we had a lot of bass in heaven. We're bassing it. We're bassing it in heaven. I believe heaven's full of bass. Boom, 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 boom. A lot of reverb. I believe it was a lot of that. I like reverb. Y'all like reverb. Hey, man. I can't play nothing. I can only make the sounds and imitate. Hey, man. Y'all ought to hear me do the drums. Amen. Amen. But we did that. We did it. All the sounds. Heaven, what a loud place. What a loud place. But in the Book of Revelation, it talks about before the wrath of the tribulation begins to pour out, that there's these seven angels that God summons them. And they're summoned in Revelation 8 and 6. And the Bible says they prepare themselves to blow the trumpets. They prepare. Think about it. Even in wrath and even in tribulation, even in judgment, they're preparing. And before there's an ounce of the tribulation that begins to pour out, each angel comes and begins to blow his trumpet. The moment he blows his trumpet, the wrath or that part of the tribulation comes forward. All the way through 8 and 9. But it's all following, if you will, the sound. God moves. So here's my case. God moves. God, if that's what makes us come alive. God moves when we give our best sound. Or we give our sound. Whatever. Sometimes our best sound might not sound like what it just sounded like. Our best sound might just be groans sometimes. But out of our sounds, David learned this principle. That's why I was in this Psalms, by the way, Psalm 66. David learned that principle. Remember, David was so far ahead of natural, normal, fleshly man. Remember, he's one that just marched right into the before God and the Holy of Holies and just sit down and say, we're going to have church, God. I want to see you. We're going to have personal. I want it personal, which is what God wanted. I want you to have it personal. I want you to be after my heart. And David was so much far ahead, so much further ahead on it, but he'd learned this principle. He'd learned this principle. And this is what I caught. I caught this. That remember, David, he wrote all the Psalms, not all the Psalms, but he wrote a lot of the Psalms with a few others as well. But the big chunk of Psalms David wrote, he authored them. Some of the Psalms we know that they're just Psalms of thankfulness. Like, man, I just want to thank God for all his benefits, all that he's done, everything that he is. I just want to be thankful. Some of them are Psalms of love. Seems like he doesn't want to love, just want to write God a love letter. He seems like, you know, he's laying out there in the Palestinian sheep fields, maybe, and he's just staring up to the stars, and he's like, he just breaks that. He can't stand it. He's feeling good. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Yeah. I shall not want. Amen. And he's writing. He's just love, and praise. He writes a lot of praise psalms, you know. Well, it's where we get Psalm 66, where we get the back end of the Psalms, where it's just praise. It's just praise. Whatever you got, praise. Use a book, use a hammer, use a wall. I mean, you know, and I know none of that's in there, but that's what he means. Just whatever you got, praise him. Praise him. You know, it's just the way he just wants. But he, the principle that ties in with today's thought, David learned this. I see that. I see it so well. Whenever he would write, he'd have needs. A lot of the Psalms, matter of fact, 30, 35 of them, you can see it, there's a clear need. David's got something on his that surfaced that he needs something that only God can deliver. He needs God to move. He needs God to come into his life or to be a part of, because it's out of everybody else's hands. Man can't do it. Sometimes he was in a cage. Sometimes he was on the run with Saul. Sometimes his family was a mess. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I can't think of anything that I can do. And he's at the place where he writes these psalms of need. They're need. He need in something. But that's not the powerful thing. The powerful thing is every psalm that I looked at where there was a need. He did something. Something very unique. Something very unlike the other psalms, when he was just wanting to praise God, or when he was just wanting to love on God or whatever, or adore him. This is totally different. When he's got this need, he writes the psalm. He writes the song. It's just a song. Y'all know, is that okay? Can I just call it a song? It's a song. It's a song. He writes the song, and here's what he does. Here's what he does. And he don't do this the other times. 23rd Psalm, he didn't do this. With some of the other psalms, he didn't do it. But with these psalms of need, he writes the song, and he says, to the chief musicians. He writes the song, and he wants to make sure to give it to the band. Because he's got this need that God's going to have to move. If God don't move, this need is going to be here. But when he's got this need, he writes these songs, he gives it to the chief. Every one of them is titled that way. Every one of them, I'm going to give you a few of them here in a minute. Every one of them is titled that way. To the chief, let's just throw it all on the floor. To the chief musicians, he titles it, to the chief musicians, because he wants the band to put music. He wants their best noise. You know, David was the one that instituted, let's have 24/7 worship. Let's go crazy. Let's worship. Let's make a joyful noise. Let's sing. He done tapped in. He knows that God's in this joyful noise of praise and worship and whatever it is. If you can't do nothing but clap, he calls on the hill sometimes. He'll just clap. My God, somebody clap for God. Somebody shout for God. Somebody give God some crazy noise. We need somebody. We need God to move. Hey, we need him to move. We need him to move. That's what David's saying. So he always makes some noise. He wants to make some noise. I want to give you a couple. Psalms 4 is like this. Psalms 4. It says, the title of it is To the Chief Musician. And there was a need in it. He says, hear me when I call. Verse 1, O God of my righteousness, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. There's this distress. When you're in distress, make some noise. When you're in distress. That's what David was saying. I need God to move, and I'm in trouble. There's problems here. I want to make some noise. Psalms 5 is the same way. To the chief musician, give ear to my words, O Lord. Listen, God, consider what my meditation, consider my thinking, consider my thoughts. Verse 2, he says, hearken unto the voice, God. Hey, hear my cry, King. Hear me. He wants God's attention. We need to make some noise about this, because I need God's attention. I need him to hear me, and we know he does, but David is working on that same premises again, that God's going to move in the noise, in the sound, in the worship, in the cry, in the praise, in the call, whatever that is. Verse 6 is the same way. I mean, Psalm 6 is the same way. To the chief musician, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in your heart. When he feels the displeasure of God, we need to sing. We need to praise. We need to shout. We need to clap. When I sense that I have displeased God. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. Chapter 8, same way, to the chief musician. Verse 3 and 4, he says, when I consider the heavens, David said, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you've ordered. What is man that you're minded? When you feel small, when you're feeling really small in this world, when you're feeling like that, man, that's it. That's what David was saying. That's when I need to make noise. I need to make noise. I need to cry out. I need to play the fire up the band. I'm feeling small. I'm feeling all these things. I got too many to go through them all, but what about when my enemies? Chapter 9. I will praise thee, O my Lord, to the chief musician, by the way, with my whole heart, show forth a marvelous work. I will be glad, rejoice in thee. He's giving him his best noise. And then when my enemies are, he knows it's coming. When my enemies are, I'm making the noise. When my enemies are turned back. When. David would always get out front of all these things. Best thing you can do if you've displeased God this morning is just make some noise. Just acknowledge he's God. I'm going to give him glory. You got the enemies on your trail. Best thing you can do this morning is go on and give God your best noise. If you're feeling small and insignificant and awful tiny in this great big world, best thing you can do this morning is make noise up in this house. Give him glory and honor and praise. Lift him up. Magnify him. Exalt him when you feel small. Give him your best voice. Give him, lift him up. That's right. That's right. Maybe you're feeling intimidated. Anybody ever feel intimidated? This world will make you feel intimidated. Sometimes church will make you feel intimidated. Sometimes getting around other people make you feel, whatever it is. David says to the chief musician, chapter 11, in the Lord put I my trust. How say you, my soul, flee as the bird to the mountain. You ever feel like running? They feel like getting away? Intimidated. Feel like I got to go. Amen. Amen. That's a good time. In these ungodly times, remember I was talking about, I'm all the time looking, what does this world need? These ungodly times, these times in which we live in. Chapter 12's got the answer. He was feeling it too. Help, Lord, he said to the chief musician. Make me a song. Can you imagine? Make me a song. Put music to this. Can you boys put music to help, Lord? Can y'all give me some music? Y'all get up there. Make me some music. No, seriously, get up there. Get up there. Where y'all at? Storm, where you at? Get up here. We're gonna make a noise here in just a second. That's what David did. David wrote these songs and said, now, I want some music for that. Huh? How about that? Is that any pressure? Hey. Think about it. He said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. The faithful man fail from among the children of men. All these men are double-hearted and they do speak. They flattering lips, but their tongues speak proud things. It's an ungodly time. It was a great time. It was a great stressful time. Do you feel that, believer? It's an ungodly time, and we feel that. Well, you know what? That's the time. That's the time to send the help, Lord, to the band. And that's it. Hey! 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 Help, Lord! Help, Lord! Frustrated with ungodliness. Frustrated with the ungodly. Frustrated with the poison of the lies. Help God. Ungodly times. Help God. Maybe you feel forsaken this morning. You feel forsaken. Oh, make some noise. Make some noise. Maybe you're here this morning like the psalmist felt. I feel disappointed. Make the noise for him. When you need God to move like he used to. Like he used to, David said, as I've seen you in the sanctuaries of old. Make the noise. Make the noise. Make the noise when you're oppressed. Make the noise. When the voice of the enemy, I said, when the voice of the enemy is making noise, when he's speaking noise in your life, hey, shout to the Lord. 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 All ye lands. All ye lands. When there's calamities all around, when you feel overwhelmed, when you're waiting on God, I said, while you're waiting on God, make some noise. Make it for him. Whoa, you need God to get up. You need God to arise. You need him to arise and to come up like he did in Psalm 68. David says, arise, O God. Oh, make the noise, he says. Play me a song that'll get God up in my life. Help me to make noise. Help me to praise. I need God to arise. I need him to arise in my life. I need him to come up. Psalm 70, he said, I need him in a hurry. I need him in a haste. Make haste, oh God. Make haste. I need you now. I know I got to wait patiently, but hurry, God. Hurry. I'm going to make some noise now.